What is success to you?
So success is making things better than they were. I think that's a pretty decent way to define it.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. And so you can really apply it to anything. I mean, you could apply it to any organization that you're a part of. You could apply it to family structures, just anything in society.
Welcome, Eric.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So Eric and I went to high school together a little while ago.
Yeah, a couple years back.
And anyways, yeah, this is the first time catching up. I mean, I guess twice in 10 years. So
yeah,
I'm super excited to have you on. Can we start with a little bit about yourself, your background, maybe 2-3 minutes?
Yeah, sure thing. So I'm Eric Rivas. I'm originally from Los Angeles, California. I'm sorry to everyone who's upset with all the Californians moved here. That was my fault.
That's you, man. They're following you.
I invited them all. I didn't know it would get this bad. But, you know, my parents are immigrants. And so, you know, first in the family to get a bachelor's
degree. From Mexico, right?
That's right.
Where at in Mexico?
So my dad's from Durango. Okay. My mom's from Guanajuato. And then my wife, she's from Chihuahua.
And my wife is from Chihuahua.
And I think last time we spoke, you said that your wife was from
Chihuahua.
From Chihuahua, right? Yeah. And so is my wife. But what city is she from?
Delicias.
Okay, that's where my wife is from too. And that's where we're headed to this weekend.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's, it's not that, I mean, I think there's like 100,000 people, but it's not, you know.
Doesn't feel like it,
maybe. Yeah. Dude, good luck, man. My wife, we went last Christmas and we stayed for a month. And I just froze my butt off the whole time. Because you're just cold all the time. And you go from a cold house to a cold car, and then you go to Walmart and it's still cold. So you're just like hoodie and jacket on the entire time. But we love going down there. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's our first time headed down there, so I'm excited
to see
what's in store.
Awesome.
Yeah.
When did you move here from Los Angeles? I didn't even remember that you're from.
Yeah, LA. No. So my family moved to Utah when I was 11, so back in 2005. And then, just been here ever since.
What junior high did you go to? Did you go to Lake Ridge?
Lake Ridge,
yeah. That's what I thought. Awesome, awesome. Sorry, I kind of cut you off. So parents are immigrants, you moved here from LA, and then,
Yeah, and so
where were we at?
So I was the first in my family to graduate with a bachelor's degree.
Awesome.
Here in the US, and I'm currently working on my MBA.
Okay, sweet. Where are you at?
I'm at UVU.
Okay. Yeah. And if I remember correctly, you've done some grants for Latinos.
That's right, yeah. So I've distributed a couple, or passed out a couple of scholarships for Latino students, just trying to give back and do my part.
And what gave you the idea to do that?
It just kind of came from inspiration. One day I was meeting with clients and I'm like, hey, you know what? Like, a good way to give back is just, you know, supporting other students and, you know, opening the door for them to be successful as well.
And how do you fund that?
Just through the business. So, you know, income, you know, revenue generated from Roots Marketing,
From what marketing?
Roots Marketing.
Okay.
It's my agency. I have a couple of clients that I work with on the side. And that money goes to deserving students who can make a difference.
And then how do you choose the students?
So it's a little bit different. Sometimes I'll let an intern pick them. Sometimes it just depends on who's liking and following the social media pages. Uh-huh. Just thought it was a good way to integrate getting more people following, liking, and by the same token, you know, rewarding them for going to school.
That's awesome. Giving them a scholarship. So it's not, I mean, you're giving them money and then they're using that to educate themselves. Yeah. Right. And then be able to care for themselves, through higher education.
Yeah.
That's super cool that you've been doing that. How long has it been that you've been?
It's been a couple of years now. I do want to say some of these scholarships have gone to undocumented citizens. So a lot of people are like, hey, how come you haven't posted them? And it's like some of them would like to keep their, you know, would like to stay anonymous. So I got to respect that, you know.
Yeah, well, that's super cool. And it's also super cool that it's whether they're documented or not, it's like everybody deserves a chance or a scholarship, right? So that's really cool. And a lot of times those are the people that need it even more. Definitely. Anyways, that's super cool. Yeah, when my wife and I, she came here on a tourist visa. then we got married. But yeah, she was on, you know, that was just, I think it was a 6 month visa, but we got married and it took us years to get the green card. So she was just being illegal, was married to me.
Was she on DACA or something similar?
No.
She was just, she overstayed her visa and just stayed here. Yeah. And that's something that happens to a lot of people. And, you know, thankfully she got married to you. And
I mean, we just got her citizenship this summer. And that was 8 years from us meeting.
It takes a long time. Took
freaking forever. And it was like, oh, it's going to be 2 years or 3 years or whatever it was. And it was just a pain in the butt. The government sucks.
Yeah. It's a long
process. And it's like, we were doing everything. We had an attorney and it was just like, man, you know, you hear kind of the other side. It's like, oh, it's so easy. Just go do your stuff. And it's like, no, it's not. You can push it. You can pay. You can have the attorneys like, and the government just still sucks. It's still so slow.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that a lot of people who haven't done the immigration process or are lucky enough to not have to do it ever.
Yeah.
Probably don't understand, you know?
Yeah. I definitely didn't until we went through it. And I'm just like, oh man, I feel for everybody going through this.
Yeah. And it's tough, but I mean, you know, I do think it is something that's necessary, whether they came here, however they came here, you know, we got to account for, you know, who's here and who deserves to get benefits if they are here, who's contributing positively to American society.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how long have you been doing your marketing company? And tell me the name again, Roots?
Roots Marketing.
Okay.
In honor of my grandparents, you know, they set roots here in the U.S. for us to flourish.
I like that.
Yeah. So I've been doing it since 2019 after I graduated with my bachelor's degree. I'm like, let's get going.
Yeah. That's super cool. And what drove you to marketing?
So kind of funny enough, do you remember Mr. Walker?
Yes.
Shout out Karsten.
Yep. I was in his, what was the sports marketing? That's what I took from him.
Yeah.
Super cool teacher.
Yeah. All his business classes were awesome. And so I had taken, you know, his business classes was in the DECA business club and stuff like that. And so, you know, when I was 16, he made us do like a personality test to see what would be good or what, you know, kind of where our interests fall in, and it was always marketing and advertising. And so that's what I pursued in college.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then how far along into, so 2019, you started it. When did you give out that first scholarship?
Oof, I don't remember. I'll be honest, maybe 2020, something like
that. So, I mean, within a year of you starting the business.
Yeah.
And that's what I had remembered as well, because I've been following you for a while on the social media. And I think so many people are like, man, that's so cool that Eric has so much money that he could do scholarship. But what they don't realize, it's like a year into a business, nobody's got money. You're just doing it to do it. It wasn't because you had thousands of dollars. I mean, I'm kind of speaking for you, correct me, but it's like, if you wait till you have buttloads of money just sitting around to then go do a nonprofit and a give back, you're not going to do it most of the time. That's been my, like, we're doing the nonprofit and we're still not profitable as a company. You know, we're still raising capital, a few months out, less than 3 months out, hopefully. But you know, that I kind of went through the same thing. Like, if I wait to be profitable and have loads of money and then do the nonprofit, then I just, the whole point of, for me, the business is finding the joy and fulfillment. And in order to do that, you know, it's like, we're going through the nonprofit and we just need to freaking start. So that was something that I noticed about you and your business that was super admirable. Like, you just started it.
Yeah. I do want to add a correction though. I don't have a ton. I don't have Bennett Maxwell money. No. I'm not rich like that.
I'm not, it's rich just either, man.
One of those things where like,
but you just give back.
I just want to give back. And it's, you know, kind of like you said, if I would have waited to start making money, then I probably wouldn't have done it, because I'd be worried about other things, about scaling the business or just other things.
Yeah. You get distracted on, you know, if I don't give this money and I reinvest it, then I can give more later. But it's like, just live in the moment, you know?
That's right.
Have so faith. Yeah, yeah. I like that. Talk to me about, I guess, what is success to you?
So success is making things better than they were. I think that's a pretty decent way to define it.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. And so you can really apply it to anything. I mean, you could apply it to any organization that you're a part of. You could apply it to family structures, just anything in society, really.
And I like it a ton because better than what it was is perspective.
Yeah.
Right. So you can have a terrible day, or you can have a mistake or a mess up, or you lose money or make a bad hire. But you can still say, oh, but I learned from it, or the business learned from it, or this person learned from it, or I learned from them, or now I have compassion for them. And it's putting the control of success, the outcome of success, on you and nobody else, rather than, which I think most people, success is if I have a 3-car garage and I could take my family, and if I have a boat and I could take my family on a boat. And it's like, but what if you don't get that? Yeah. Or you get it, but it's in 10 years. Like, are you just going to not be as happy as you could have been? So that definition of a success is, and tell me again, making things better than what they were.
That's right.
It's probably the best definition, man. We need to get a freaking definition of success award for you. I'm glad I asked that, that question. That's super cool. Shifting gears to mental health. Yep. So that's something, obviously, a lot. It's getting more and more prevalent, and people are talking about it a lot more, and it's awesome. And being an entrepreneur, I think that's one of the areas of people that need it the most because of how freaking sucky it is.
Definitely.
And making sure that you're on the right path and you have the right definition of success so you can actually control rather than based on something else outside of your control. Anyways, with that being said, is there any mental health struggle that you've had personally that you're willing to share and how you overcame that, or just how you're proactive with your mental health in general?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the first time I'm sharing this kind of information publicly, and I'm glad that it's on this podcast. And so, you know, I dealt with a couple of childhood traumas that I did not acknowledge for the longest time. And so at around 16, when we were in high school, I don't know if you remember much, but like, you know, I had a ton of fun in high school. And I'm sure you did too. And, you know, we were a little popular and stuff like that. But really I'd use my humor, to kind of hide the fact that I had these things, and I refused to acknowledge, you know, my feelings and refused to acknowledge that, you know, certain things happened in my childhood and just wanted to sweep it under the rug. Mm-hmm. And I think in Mexican culture, more than anything, as a man, you kind of gotta
suck it up, be macho.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. And so I used laughter, and then I'd also, you know, from time to time wild out or act out, just because I wanted someone to ask me what was wrong, what the problem was. Uh-huh. And I think we see it, a lot with our friends, whether they're posting on social media or we're spending time with them, whether they say or do things, to try and get a laugh or try, you know, to get a reaction. A lot of times they're trying to hide that something's wrong, or they're, you know, they want someone to ask them what's going on, what's, you know, what's wrong.
Yep. There's a new show that just came out on Netflix called Leo, and it's a 75-year-old turtle in a 5th grade classroom. And at the very beginning, and I just watched this over the weekend with my daughters, and it's Adam Sandler as the turtle. Anyways, it's a funny movie, but the kids are coming in and they're identifying each kid because he's been there for 75 years, you know, and he's like, that's the class clown that secretly hates himself. And it's like, probably, right? Like that was right where they went to. Cause that was true for me too. It's like, and when I started getting on social media, I hated it because I would overthink like every freaking caption because I don't want to be too serious. I have to be funny. Cause if I'm funny, then I could just tell people I'm joking. If I'm serious, then if people attack me, well, that's me now. You know, I can't just hide behind like, oh, I was just joking. Cause no, it's like, no, this is actually what I believe in. Yeah. Where if you're joking, you're never taking a stance. Yeah. So for me, I hated that getting out there because I was like, is this funny enough? Is this witty enough? And then I'm like, who the hell cares? Yeah. And I just kind of got over it with just like, I'm just going to do it. And it's amazing how many people actually like that and are attracted to more vulnerability, where in my mind, I thought it was going to be the opposite, that I was going to be like, oh, this guy's a freaking idiot for believing that. Or this guy's got emotions. What a freaking stupid head.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
That's something that I went through, and I appreciate you sharing that, of going and really always hiding behind humor and sarcasm to be like, well, if I'm always, you know, being sarcastic, like, how am I ever going to uncover who I am and what I'm trying to be?
Yeah.
So that's super cool. What were the steps that you took to, I guess, transition and go away? Obviously you don't lose your humor and your sarcasm, but to no longer hide behind that and step into more, I guess, authentic self, vulnerability.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, one of the things, that I did is in my 20s, I worked crazy, mm-hmm. you know, 16, 18, 20 hour days going to school, working internships, just trying to stay as busy as I can so I wouldn't have to acknowledge my feelings. And then, you know, these symptoms kept coming up, depression, anxiety, you know, and I gained a ton of weight after high school. And, you know, that's really a symptom that was me asking for help. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it wasn't until I got married where my wife encouraged me to go see a therapist. And so at first I didn't want to, just because back to that culture
yep.
thing, right? Macho, forget feelings, we got to work, there's stuff to do, all those kinds of things. But then when I did see a therapist, I was able to process these feelings that I carried for over 20 years. And things changed. I mean, this year alone, I lost 50 pounds.
Sweet, man. Yeah. Congrats on that. Thank you. I was just, so Corey that you just met walking out, he's a therapist. And I was talking to him about me seeing a therapist. And I found it very beneficial because the therapist got me away from goals or success or, you know, kind of, and it got focused on the emotion. And for me, that was just like, holy crap. So I'm a big advocate for anybody, especially in business, but anybody, like, go see a therapist so you could be focused on the emotion. Is there anything that you can kind of, if you're talking to somebody else in your position before seeing a therapist, like, what would you say the benefits of a therapist are for them?
So just want to say that everything's connected. There's definitely a connection between how you look on the outside with what's going on the inside, right? So you mm-hmm. see people who are overweight, it's not because they eat too much, it's because there's something wrong with them. There's not something normal. Anyone who's not in balance, whether it's with their emotions, spiritually, physically, emotionally, any of those things, I think it's a good chance to feel that balance that you need in your life.
Yeah. Have you heard of David Goggins?
Yeah.
I just listened to him speak maybe 2 weeks ago. He came to Salt Lake and we gave something with a nonprofit, but he was giving his story, but not in the sense of, cause I've heard him speak a few times, but this was like a smaller group Q&A. And he was a lot more, I guess, real rather than just like be tough. Yeah. Anyways. And he opened up and he said, he got up to 300 something pounds. And he said, because I was hiding, like if I built this huge exterior body, it's because now I can hide behind that because now I'm a big guy, you know? And I felt like that was something very similar to me as well. Like anyways, but a lot of people don't draw those, I guess, connections. And I just thought it was really cool. I got up to 300 pounds because I was hiding. Like I wanted to hide my emotions behind a lot of body.
Yeah.
And man, that very, very relatable. So, are you still seeing a therapist?
Not currently. I would like to go back, just for certain things here and there, but definitely there's a direct correlation from the time I went to go see a therapist last year
uh-huh.
and then dropping the weight this year.
Like, yeah, that's awesome.
And it's more than that. It's, you know, fixing a lot of things that were wrong, you know, doing things like getting manicures, pedicures, whitening my teeth, just things that like just self-care and showing my body
yeah.
love.
Yeah, those have always been the best investments. And I kind of went through, because I had a stomach surgery, you know, to lose weight because I hit 310 pounds. And then I've gotten LASIK. I've whitened my teeth. I did laser hair removal around my neck.
Nice.
You know, so I don't, and those are the investments that are way better than buying some new clothes or things like that. Yeah. And I'm like, man, but, you know, is that egotistic? And then I'm just like, well, who cares? I want to do it and it's my life's about me. So I'm going to do it. And those have by far been the best. Oh, I got some, I sweat a ton in my armpits. Like I would be in a solar, Cade's saying him too. I would be giving like a solar presentation. And I've sold freaking hundreds of deals, you know? Yeah. And I would sweat so much. And then the tacos would start coming out, and then I'd put my arm down, which causes more heat. And then they turn from tacos to tortillas, man. And it would literally go out to like my nipple. It just gross. And I wasn't like nervous, like I've done this, but like I just sweated profusely. And I got this procedure called Miradry. Anyways, I had to do it 3 times because usually you have to do it once. But and now I sweat like a normal person. But that was another thing that I'm just like, oh, I don't have to worry about that anymore because I invested in getting rid of that. That's something that made me uncomfortable. And then the flip side is, well, why don't you just change your mindset and yada, yada. Well, I wish I could, but it's not that easy.
No, that's super awesome. And I've been following, your weight loss journey on social media. And it's inspiring. It's inspiring to me seeing how, a lot of times after you're married, have kids, you don't really have to be, super buff, super in shape. You can kind of let go. But really it's inspired me, to keep going just because I see the big difference in, you look a lot happier. You look sharp. I'm sure that's helped you mentally.
I can breathe important. When I go up the stairs.
How nice is that? So it helps you overall. And then I'm sure it's helped you mentally to think a lot sharper, make better decisions, all of that.
Yes, it definitely has. And the reason why I asked if you're seeing a therapist, the question I was going for after that was, what are you doing to be proactive? So like, I haven't seen a therapist in maybe 2 or 3 months. And I'll go back if I feel the need, but I kind of felt like, at least with that therapist, I've kind of achieved what I was going to achieve. So I've turned, I guess, more heavy into different philosophies and guided meditations and some psychedelics as well, which have been really good for me. Is there anything that you're doing to do, I guess, to be proactive with your mental health outside of therapy?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things, kind of like I said, in my 20s, I'd work a ton and then I'd just work to the point of exhaustion. I'd be burnt out. And then I'm like, hey, maybe I should take a vacation. But now, recently, last December, my grandma on my mom's side passed away. It was really sad. And then a couple months later in the summer, my grandpa passed away. And so I took the time to step away from working and took time to process those feelings. I think that's a key. Instead of just, old me would have just kept working and
work harder, right? So you don't have to feel it.
Yeah. And so, one, being able to process my feelings, another one, just taking a walk, if I ever feel frustrated or it's been a long day, there's lots to do, go for a walk. Exercise is a good one. Doing a lot of these exercises to be present, taking baths. You might want to scratch. That's not masculine enough.
As long as you don't have a bath bomb. Just kidding. You better have a bath bomb.
Doing exercises to be present in the moment. EMDR is a really good one. There's lots of techniques.
And the EMDR is the something with your eyes, right? I've done that before. But that's through therapy.
That's through therapy, yeah. So there's different
exercises. It's like you go back to a memory. And then you think of that memory, you picture it, and then it's something to do with your left and your right brain. And you have to go back and forth. So whether that's tapping or visually, and then it allows your brain to, I guess, process it and recategorize it in your mind. There's a lot of really positive studies behind that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've done that. And I felt like that definitely helped because it was, picture XYZ happening. And then from 1 to 10, what are you feeling or what emotions are there? And then from 1 to 10, how heavy that is. And then you do the EMDR and then it slowly goes down. Excuse me. I felt like that was super helpful. So thanks for sharing that. Last question for you. What is the legacy that you want to leave behind?
That's a really good question. I think the legacy I want to leave behind is building on my family's name. I'm really proud of my parents because they were able to stop a lot of these negative cycles that would happen in our family, and they were able to put a stop to them. So that made it so that my sister and I would have more opportunities to succeed. Which is the college, which is the businesses and investing and
the giving back, the scholarships.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I really want to build up from that. And I'm not one. There's a really negative stereotype about minorities who make it, you know, quote unquote. And then they close the door for others behind them. And I don't want to be one of those people. There's
like you forgot where you came from. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to be one of those people. I want to give back so that other people have the same opportunities and access to opportunities that I had. I want to make sure that, you know, the door is wide open for everyone who's willing to work for it to achieve their goals as well.
I like that a ton. And again, but the definition of success too at the beginning and kind of wrapping that in, I heard that as long as I'm better than before, right? But now you're speaking, as you answer that question, generationally. So your grandparents came here. Yeah. They're the ones who planted the roots. Then I'm sure your parents worked super hard and set this. So it started with your grandparents, then your parents made it a little bit better for you guys. And now you're not just trying to make it better for your future generations, but for other random people, I should say, you know, giving back and just going into business, which is hard and scary and difficult, and providing jobs, is another big give back. Yeah. So anyways, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I love talking with you. Where can guests and listeners connect with you?
Yeah, sure. So they can find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X, as it's called now, LinkedIn, just under Eric Rivas or at DJ Eric Rivas. I'm not really a DJ, though.
DJ.
When I created those accounts and changed it to DJ Eric Rivas, I thought it was somewhat funny, kind of like, you know, people who start, what's it called? Like when they work with hair and it's like hair by blank person's name, right? So I thought it'd be funny to be at DJ Eric Rivas. And so funny enough, a lot of other music artists started following me and stuff like that. But I'm not really a DJ. Don't book me for nothing. I barely understand BPM.
Just come over with an iPod and a speaker, dude, and you can DJ.
I guess so. But yeah, that's the truth. I'm not really a DJ. I might change it after I'm done. To my current fantasy football team name, which is NBA Youngboy. So it plays off of the rapper NBA Youngboy, but because I'm doing my MBA. So we'll see. But yeah, currently under
Eric Rivas.
DJ Eric Rivas.
Or DJ Eric Rivas. Yeah. Awesome. Sounds good. Okay. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks.